From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Driven by technology, InsurTech has shifted the status quo of a very traditional insurance industry. Now, in this episode of iAfrican Bites, we're joined by Ndabenhle Ngulube, co-founder and chief developer officer at Pineapple Insurance, to understand how their tech stack and technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning analyze data to assess risk and price policies.
Southern African Bites. Brother Ndabenhle, thank you so much for joining us on iAfrican Bites. Looking forward to this conversation. Now, I think as an icebreaker, Brother Ndabenhle, so I've got this laptop, right? And it can't work without it being plugged into the power unit. And maybe it's because I'm not insured with Pineapple, because I could have, you know, insured it from Pineapple and you could have bought me a new charger, laptop charger. So, you know, it's always good to have, you know, people like you in the room.
It's an honor to take part in your podcast, and thanks so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, Badawun.
Okay, no, thank you very much. Brother Ndabenhle, let's kick it off here. You've got a degree in accounting and an honors in taxation. Now, then you turn into a full stack developer, both mobile and web. Why and when did you learn how to code?
So maybe I'll just take it a bit. I'll take it a step back. So during my time at varsity, I entered, the University of Cape Town with the idea of eventually becoming a chartered accountant. But very quickly, as I started on the chartered accountancy course, I actually realized that I had no passion whatsoever for accounting or auditing. But one thing that I realized was that I really enjoyed creating things. So I just decided to do a bit of research and ask around in terms of what kind of careers can really really make me feel as if I'm being true with my need to want to create stuff, but still exercising my mind. And luckily, I had a friend of mine who was doing information sciences at the time, and he was telling me some very interesting things that they're working on in their course. And I managed to convince him to lend me some of his textbooks just to see what exactly this coding thing is all about. And from that moment, that's when my passion for coding and all things dev started. So I really started to aggressively use my free time to teach myself how to code, initially coding web platforms, and eventually evolved onto mobile platforms.
Beautiful. Are you still involved, you know, in the coding? I mean, you're the chief developer. How involved are you in the technical aspect of Pineapple?
So that's my daily bread, literally every day. Sunrise to sunset, I'm coding, I'm either coding, helping the other devs on my team, or scoping out the work for them. But I'd say about 60 to 70% of my time is spent actually coding, with the sort of the proverbial rubber hitting the tar road.
Oh, so you in the front line, you in the trenches with the soldiers, you're not one of those execs that, you know, chief developer, but you know, they just give strategy and then the other chance is just code, you know what I mean?
The trenches is where it's at. That's where the magic happens. I love getting my hands dirty.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Brother Ndabenhle, Pineapple has raised a total of $9.1 million over 6 rounds, you know, which, you know, equals to about 170 million South African rands to this very date. Now, your first ever seed round was in 2017 and you raised 5.2 million. Now, you've come a long way, brother, you know, and kudos to Pineapple. Just tell us and walk us through, how did you meet your other three founders, you know, Matthews, Marnus, and Sizwe?
So just a correction before I tell you the backstory, in total up to date, we've raised just over 18 million rand. We're currently in the process of raising our Series B round right now. So that will push us over that threshold. But to answer your original question, so The story dates back to 2016. At the time, I was working as a software developer for a company in Hyde Park here in Johannesburg. I was predominantly focused on web dev at the time. And I came across an innovation competition that was being ran by a German reinsurance company. So this German reinsurance company is named Hannover Reinsurance. Mm-hmm. So for those of your audience who are not familiar with reinsurance, these are essentially the guys who sell insurance to insurance companies. Mm-hmm. So we have this German reinsurance company. They have an office in Johannesburg. So they decided to take a strategic direction towards harboring tech talent and disruptive talent in-house, because they could see what was happening in the financial services space in general, whereby technologies were basically disrupting the big players. Mm. So rather than being a passenger and witnessing this thing called disruption happening to them, they wanted to actively harbor it in-house. So they created this competition whereby the offices in Johannesburg, Berlin, Boston, and Dublin, all four of them had to put together two teams of three individuals. And these teams would effectively be provided with office space for 6 months, as well as salaries for 6 months, so much so that all the teams had to focus on was disrupting the short-term insurance space. So I entered this competition, and luckily I was selected to represent one of the Joburg teams.
And what year is this?
This was 2016.
2016, okay.
Exactly. And I was put into the same team as my two fellow co-founders, Matthew and Manas. And Caesar came on a bit later on as employee number one, but we still consider him as a co-founder. So that's essentially how the team came together.
Beautiful and amazing story, brother. Such a rich, rich story. I mean, you entertain me here. You know, like Pineapple, there's another successful fintech company, Yoko. You know, they also have four founders, two black men, two white men. Is that like the winning formula?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a golden bullet, but what I definitely will say is that there's a lot of benefits with working from people from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So we have this internal joke in our team whereby we say we are the mini Rainbow Nation. Mm-hmm. So myself, I'm an Ndebele individual. You have Caesar, who's Zulu. You have Manas, who's Afrikaans. And you have Matthew, who's Jewish. So we like to say that there's no boardroom or meeting that we can't go into and find a way to leverage off of our cultures.
No, definitely. The quota system either way. Yeah, balance. So let's walk us through the concept of Pineapple. How did it emerge? I mean, you think of Apple, you know, the big tech company Apple. How did Pineapple become as a concept?
So for us, it all started through the process of design thinking. And I'm sure you're aware of what the process of design thinking is, whereby you basically take a step back and you ask yourself, what are the current pain points in terms of the industry that you want to disrupt? And in order to boil down to these pain points, you essentially have to have facilitative conversations with your potential customers. And once you have those conversations, you realize, okay, where are the current players? Where are they falling short in terms of fulfilling the needs of the customers? And once we started to do that, we realized that there were two primary pain points that insurance customers had at the time. The first one was in terms of access to insurance in general. Uh-huh. And the second one was in terms of perceived fairness from the insurer to the customer, starting off with the access point. So around the time when we were starting to formulate this concept, it was extremely difficult to purchase per item insurance in a digital format. At that time, if you did want to purchase per item insurance, you had to have it bundled with a pre-existing policy. So let's say I had a bicycle or a cell phone that I wanted to insure. The traditional players would most likely say, okay, cool, we can insure that, but provided you have a household contents policy with us, then we can insure that individual item. Gotcha. So you can already see that creates a barrier of entry for the person who's young and only has a few high-value items, and they just literally want to focus on insuring that one item. There's a barrier because you're not going to go take out an entire household contents policy just to insure that one item. And then secondly, in terms of fairness, what we realized was that there was an inherent misalignment between the insurance company and the customer. So what this meant was that at the time, people perceived insurance companies as deliberately denying their claims in order to build up the bottom line. So what insurance customers thought was that when they put in a claim, an insurance company is more likely to turn down your claim because the money that they otherwise would have used to pay out your claim would go into their back pocket. So this developed an inherent mistrust that customers had with insurance customers. So we looked at these two pillars and we're like, okay, how do we change these? So when it came to the pineapple, we realized, okay, there's all these social platforms that are gaining in popularity. You had Instagram at the time, Twitter, Facebook, all happening on a mobile device. So why can't we make insurance accessible in the same fashion, in a manner that's intuitive to the user, that's fun to use, and overall is an immersive experience? So we decided to roll out a digital first per item insurance offering, whereby insuring your items is as simple as snapping a picture of that item, and then artificial intelligence guides you through the process, and typically under 1 minute you are insured. So that speaks to why we wanted to go down the app route. In terms of being as fair as possible, this is where the innovative Pineapple business model comes in. So where we make our money as Pineapple is that we take a percentage of the premium, and then after we've taken our fee, whatever money is left after we've taken our fee goes back to paying claims. And if there's money that's left after paying claims, we give that back to the customer. And it's important to realize why this is so innovative, because since we're taking a fixed fee and we've made our money already, we don't have an incentive to deny claims. If a claim is valid, we will pay it out, because if we don't pay a claim out, it's not like that money is coming back into our back pocket. So we like to be as fair and as impartial as possible when it comes to managing claims.
Now, like apple, you also picked a fruit. Why pineapple?
So yeah, that's actually a very interesting question. So what a lot of people don't realize is that when it comes to the actual fruit, the pineapple, this isn't a single fruit. It's made up of a bunch of berries that come together to form the whole. So this pretty much echoes what insurance is, which is the many coming together to form one sweet protective layer. Plus, it's a very catchy name, very memorable as well. So we decided to go with that name, pineapple.
Beautiful. Very interesting, actually. Very interesting. Now, Ndabenhle, let's go back to the early days, you know. As a team, it's the four of you guys. How did your skills complement each other in the beginning? And, you know, what were the individual roles that you guys were playing at the time?
So at the beginning, when it was the four of us, myself, Cesar, Matthew, and Marnus, so Cesar and I were on the tech side. So Cesar is our CTO. We like to say that when it comes to my role and his role, in terms of how we segregate those roles, if you're a customer of Pineapple, anything you see and interact with in terms of Pineapple is what I'm responsible for. So the mobile apps, the web platforms, that's what I'm responsible for. With respect to Cesar, he's more of the architecture guy. So he's our CTO. He looks more at architecture, hosting, efficiencies of the back end, integrations, and so forth. So that's on the tech side. And then with respect to Matthew and Marnus, so Matthew has a background in actuarial sciences and data science. So he's more responsible for the data side of things. And he started to grow more and more in terms of the product role. Okay. So he's starting to drive products more and more. And Marnus is our CEO. He has his background in accounting. He's a chartered accountant. So he is our CEO and he drives operations as a whole, as our CEO.
Now, over the years, as you were growing, as you were scaling, you know, how did the conversations go between you guys, you know, when you had to talk about split in terms of equity to formalize the business or raise seed funding? How were those discussions?
Sure. So those discussions, that at least internally as a team, were very smooth. As I said, it started off as myself, Marnus, and Matthew. So we initially split the equity three ways equally. And then when Cesar came along, we gave him equity as well via our ESOP program. So he has equity in Pineapple as well. So there was never really conflict around that at all. We're all happy with how the splits ended up. And, you know, we just keep working forward with a shared goal and vision.
Beautiful. You know, in a lot of companies, it's very difficult conversations. And I've seen how in recent times, you know, with, you know, big corporations such as Twitter, how those discussions can be, you know, pretty ugly. And it's good 100%. To hear that your brothers, you know, were able to sort of, you know, smooth it out, and it's really encouraging. Now, Davinci, you want to say something?
Yes. I was going to say, I think at the end of the day, it all boils down just to how you guys are able to relate to one another and how you 100%. Guys are able to manage disagreements. I think we're lucky in that all four of us sort of share the same mind frame, in that we all know that we all have one common goal that we're trying to focus on. And because of that, we know that, let's say, if somebody puts forward a better argument in terms of an idea that we want to put forward, we know that if somebody can justify that idea better than everybody else, that makes the most sense, and we'll go with that. It's never about taking it personal. It's never about emotions. It's just about all of us working towards a shared common goal.
Okay, now, Ndabenhle, at what point does Old Mutual come into the picture? Is this before or after raising, you know, your seed funding?
So Old Mutual came into the picture quite a while after we went to market. So initially we were underwritten by a short-term insurer named Compass Insurance. Mm-hmm. So Compass Insurance initially underwrote us when we were only selling item-based insurance. So insurance mm-hmm. like cell phones, laptops, bicycles, basically our first product before we started mm-hmm. offering motor insurance. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we wanted to venture out into the motor insurance space. Okay. We decided to sort of reach out to Old Mutual because Compass Insurance, they didn't have any prior experience with motor insurance. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go with somebody who has had experience in that space, because it's a very technical space. And if you go into it without the prior experience, it can get very, very dangerous in terms of, you know, losing money if you don't know what exactly you're doing. So we wanted to go with somebody who has experience in that space.
So Ndabenhle, entertain me. So in my head, this is how the conversation went, like, right? It's the Power Rangers, boom, you walk into the room. Hey, traditional guys, we're here to disrupt what you've basically been doing for years, you know? Now, how long did it take for them to really agree or underwrite Pineapple?
So look, of course, like all discussions with big corporations, these things take time. But I think the one thing that really stood on our side was that we were giving them access to a market that was traditionally very difficult to penetrate. Right. This market being your millennials, these are guys between the age of 20 to about late 30s, 36, 37, and so forth. So traditional insurance companies are finding it extremely difficult to penetrate this market and to develop products that appeal to this market. So at the time, our book consisted mostly of this demographic. So we were coming to them with a market that they were traditionally struggling to penetrate. So it made the conversation a bit easier, and it made them a bit more palatable to sort of going with Pineapple and insuring the Pineapple way.
Now, Ndabenhle, it took 2 years, you know, from seed to earning money with Venture Clash. Now, how did you grow throughout that time? I mean, in terms of revenue, customer count, employee count, and so forth.
So just a correction, it didn't take 2 years for us to start earning money. So 2016 to 2018, mm-hmm. that's when we're going through the ideation and the development of our app. And we mm-hmm. launched our app in 2018. So okay. from the day we started launching, from the day we launched the app, we were generating revenue.
Okay.
This was from 2018. We launched around June 2018.
And then at what point does Venture Clash come in?
Just a correction in terms of Venture Clash. Venture Clash was just a pitching competition that we took part in 2018, but it wasn't anything significant. We didn't win it. We just went there to try our luck to see if it would help put us on the map, but we didn't get as far as we would have liked to in that competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, beautiful. Now, Ndabenhle, the largest investment to date was in 2021, right? Following a 200% growth. Now, Pineapple raised 80 million through a Series A funding round, you know, from Old Mutual and other investors. Paint the picture for us. How does a 200% growth even look like, brother?
Yeah, it's very exciting. Of course, when you grow that fast, it comes with its challenges. So we were just coming off the back of the hard lockdowns at the time.
Yes.
And lucky for us, during the hard lockdown, that is when we launched our motor offering. But okay, you can imagine at the time, obviously, since this lockdown, people are at home. Nobody's going to
driving cars.
Exactly. So it was a very stressful time. You know, the initial launch was a bit tough because, you know, the numbers weren't as strong as we would have liked them to be. Mm-hmm. But the moment the hard lockdowns got cancelled by the government, that's when we started to see that real surge in growth. And it was amazing. It was amazing to witness. Of course, we learned a lot of lessons in terms of managing such growth, because you can imagine with such a large number of policies coming in, you really have to get used to sort of servicing the customers, making sure all the customers are happy. Of course, with that growth comes new challenges. With more vehicles on your book, you're bound to have more claims. Now you have more claims to sort of manage and so forth. So it was exciting, and you know, we learned a lot during that time as well.
Now, with that, you know, acceleration of growth, obviously you need a lot more manpower. How many people did you employ during that growth?
So I think in that year after the hard lockdown, our team probably grew by about maybe about 30 or 40%. We really grew aggressively at the time. We really pushed the growth. Of course, at the time we're still predominantly working remotely, but we're able to still maintain a sense of camaraderie around the company.
And then, I mean, from a culture perspective, you guys are executives now. From a culture perspective, from a, you know, synergy and camaraderie, how do you foster that?
So we have this saying at Pineapple where we say, you know, we don't take ourselves seriously, but we take what we do seriously. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to our management style. So we like to think of ourselves as being soft on people, but hard on tasks. Mm-hmm. So we expect the best out of people. But if there's a genuine reason why, a genuine personal reason as to why, you know, you can't reach X, Y, and Z, we're understanding. But if not, we tend to sort of expect the best out of our employees, but we still treat them as human beings. And I think once you really lock into that type of approach, you really gain the trust of your team. And once you have the trust of your team, people will go beyond and above for you. So it's really about being able to connect to people as at a human to human level, as opposed to just seeing them as another clog in the gears.
Brother, Pineapple is known for the, you know, hilarious billboards and, you know, quite refreshing billboards and ads. I'm keen to understand, like, what's the most insured item, you know, under the data? Let's look in some of the data. What's the most insured item?
Sneakers, so besides, cars, what are we doing? Yeah, I'll definitely say vehicles probably make up about 85% of our premium, but outside of vehicles, I'd say the cell phone is the most insured item on our book.
And so, I mean, the insurance process takes less than 2 minutes, right? So now walk us through the tech stack and how would you deal with chance takers?
Cool. So starting with the tech stack. So Pineapple is available both on mobile devices and on our web platform. I'll start off with the mobile devices. So we've predominantly made use of a JavaScript first stack. So on the front end of the mobile devices, we're using React Native. On our back end, we're using Node, and our DB is MongoDB. On the website, we initially started off by using Ruby on Rails, but we're slowly but surely rewriting our web platform into React. And the web platform uses the same Node APIs as the mobile platform and leverages off of the same Mongo database. And I think your second question related to chance takers, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where we're really starting to see the dividends with respect to going with a mobile first approach to insurance. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell you why. If you look at the traditional players, the guys who have opted for a strong presence in web platforms when it comes mm-hmm. to digital sales, the difference between selling predominantly via websites versus selling predominantly via mobile devices is that with mobile devices, you can capture way more metadata that can be used for risk assessments.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example of something that we do very, there's something that we do very smartly at Pineapple with respect to catching our potential chance takers. So we've developed a risk model that basically takes a whole bunch of metrics that ascertain whether somebody is more likely to be a fraudulent customer versus not. Things such as how quickly they go through the mobile flow. You can imagine if somebody just rushes through insuring their cell phone or their bicycle without actually reading the policy wording. This is somebody who actually doesn't really care about the safeguarding of their item, and it's a flag for somebody who can potentially be fraudulent. On top of that, when it comes to actually snapping the picture of the item you want to insure, we don't allow you to upload pictures. You have to snap it so that we know that you're in front of the item. When you snap the picture, when you snap that picture, that picture is geotagged as well, so we know the location of where that picture was tagged.
Yes.
So we have all of this metadata that can be used to ultimately, you know, assess you as a potential risk. Furthermore, when it comes to making a claim, we require people to record a voice note and tell us what exactly happened or transpired leading up to that claim. And if necessary, we're able to run that voice note through sort of stress detecting technology that detects the stress levels in your voice to see whether there's a chance of you being fraudulent or truthful when telling that story. So there's a whole bunch of metadata that we use that puts us a step ahead of the guys who sell predominantly through websites only. And you can imagine when you're just selling through a website, you can only get a fraction of this type of metadata.
So going into 2023, you know, what's next for Pineapple? Are you raising more funds? Have you identified other sort of markets similar to the South African market within the continent? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, so we definitely are currently in the process of raising our Series B. I can't really disclose the quantum right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully in the future, I'll be able to disclose it. In terms of what's next for Pineapple is we really want to push to become a household brand in insurance. And you can see this with our strong above the line presence with our billboards. So we want a lot of South Africans to know who we are, what we stand for, and what we do. Surprisingly, not a lot of people know us nationwide right now, but we're trying to change that. So our goal is to become a household brand. When you think of insurance, instead of thinking of the traditional guys, we want you to start thinking of Pineapple as well.
Pineapple.
In terms of different regions that we want to expand into, right now we're content with trying to dominate the South African market. Of course, we're always open to having conversations with respect to partnering with other guys in other jurisdictions. In fact, in 2019, up until the end of 2020 to the end of 2022, we actually partnered up with an insurance company in the States. We white labeled our technology for them for travelers insurance on a short-term contract, basically just to experiment what sort of a partnership could look like and what learnings we can walk away with from that. And I think it was a successful partnership. It was a short-term contract, and we really learned a lot. And I think that has really increased our appetite for potential partnerships like that in the future.
Brother Pineapple was one of the first, you know, to really, you know, pioneer this form of insurtech. We're seeing a lot of different players coming into the landscape, such as Naked. What makes Pineapple different? What makes you guys different from the rest, basically?
So firstly, the user journey is completely different from what's currently out there. That camera first, that camera centric approach that makes use of AI, where you merely just snap a picture of what you want to insure, and then AI guides you through the process. It's a very immersive experience for the user. It's one that's extremely enjoyable. We get a lot of positive feedback from people who ensure that their items that separates us from what's currently out there. On top of that is the business model, whereby we take a percentage, and whatever is left after paying our claims, we give that back to the customer. And you can understand why something like that is so innovative, because if you look at the traditional guys, a lot of people get frustrated in terms of constantly paying their premiums month by month 100%. By month to the insurer, but they never feel as if they get anything back if they don't claim excessively. If they do get something back, it's in the form of a cashback bonus, but typically this cashback bonus is priced into your premium. So it's something that you're effectively paying for yourself. So I think for us, essentially making the promise of saying, hey, listen, guys, as a community, if you guys do not claim, we're willing to give all of this back to you. I think that's a completely groundbreaking advancement in the insurance space, not only in South Africa, but worldwide as well.
Brother Ndabenhle, thank you for your time. It's been amazing. I mean, what you guys are really doing, and then what the, I mean, from just hearing the tech stack and you actually breaking down the innovation aspect of things, I think is amazing. And from iAfrican, we're always just guarding what is happening in, you know, InsurTech. You know, we have a bunch of conversations with different companies, and it's really refreshing to see what Pineapple is doing. And definitely, you guys are on our radar. We're following you guys like hawks. So anything new, definitely we'll be following and reporting on you guys. Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefumo Happy Show, Tech Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.